This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Jazakallah khair, Dr. Idris. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, subhanAllah. They never hear the first time, huh? Allah mustan. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم بإذن الله تعالى the topic entitled Five Family Fiqh Fitnas. This session dealing with the issues. This session dealing with the problems. This session dealing with those fitnas, those disasters, those problems, that tribulation that you might experience in the home. And many times it's associated to what? It's associated to the matter of ignorance. Because we didn't know, and now we're sitting with this problem. Wallahi, I didn't know that it's supposed to be like this. Or it might be due to oppression. It might be due to the fact that one is overpowering the other and one is oppressing the other. And it could even be due to the matter of greed. Brothers and sisters, we are talking about the matters of fitna which occur within the home and in our homes. We will be, idhnillahi ta'ala, discuss some of them, and we will go through the ways to avoid them, and we will talk a little bit about the fiqh, insha'Allah. We have, and as is the statement of the Arabs, As-salamatu min Salma wa jaratiha alla tamurra bi Salma wa wadiha. The way you can avoid Salma and all the problems. It was in history that when people would pass by that valley of Salma, she would rob them, she would steal from them and cause them strife. So the poet, he says, the manner to avoid all of this is not even go through that valley of Salma. So how can we avoid these matters so that we save ourselves from these fitnas? We will discuss, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the matters pertaining to maybe nikah loopholes. Nikah loopholes. We'll also discuss the matter of nafaqah, or maintenance, the matter of money. We will talk about divorce disasters. We will also talk about custody control. And lastly, seeing that terrorism is in fashion nowadays, and so we chose the topic inheritance terrorism, because no doubt, subhanAllah, there's an element of truth there. How many a family has broken down due to some of them usurping the rights of others? We begin, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, with nikah loopholes. Allah states in the Noble Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And it is from the signs of Allah, from the ayat of Allah, that He's created for you these spouses, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you might find tranquility, peace with her. And وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And between both of you, there is mawadda, this love, and rahmah. Maybe one day the love goes out, but that rahmah must always remain. We find the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stating, "Ad-dunya mata' wa khayru mata'iha al-mar'atu as-salihah." That this world is enjoyment, and the best of this world's enjoyment is a righteous, pious wife. We find the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stating, "Ya ma'ashara al-shabab, O the youth, whoever has the ability from amongst you, then get married." And that was his advice, and we all know that, walhamdulillah. If someone asks, what are the ingredients, fiqh-wise, for any type of marriage? Yes, we know there must be love, understanding, compassion, but we are talking more in terms of the fiqh. We obviously require a guy, we require a girl, you require the bride, the groom. You require something called the wali, the guardian of this female. The wali, and then offer and acceptance. Sumayya and Suleiman want to get married. Her father's there, and he says to this brother Suleiman, "I offer my daughter to Sumayya to you in marriage." He says, "I accept." Offer and acceptance. "I accept." And two witnesses, 100% legal nikah has now taken place. 20 seconds most you require for that, walhamdulillah. Everything add on, that's all the frills, walhamdulillah. If those are the ingredients of any nikah contract, then what are the loopholes that we are talking about? Well, subhanAllah, you had Sumayya and you had Suleiman discussing the matter of the wali. She says, no, my father said absolutely not over my dead body. And he's not passing away. And so I'm waiting and waiting. And so now I want to get married to Brother Suleiman. What do I do? And so she eventually comes up to some sheikh or some maulana or somebody of the sort. He says, no problem, I have a dusty fatwa book here. And I will get you people married. Where's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? La nikah illa bi wali. There is no nikah without a wali. Where's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ayyuma imra'atin nakahat bi ghayri idhni waliyha fa nikahuha batil, batil, batil. Any woman gets married without the wali, then her nikah is batil, batil, batil. That's the general rule, brothers and sisters, because it's not just Sulaiman and Sumayya getting married, but rather it's the marrying of two families coming together. Just like how, when you have a proposal, your mother can perform Salatul Istikhara for you. Your father, why? Because they have a vested interest in this matter. Is this guy good for my daughter? Is this guy good for my family? Is this daughter-in-law that wants to come into our family? Is she good for me? She might be good for him. But what about myself? I have a vested interest in this matter. And so the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, there is no nikah except that the wali must be there. Not just present, but the wali has to play a part in this marriage. And that's the opinion of majority of the ulama, majority of the scholars from the time of the Sahaba up till today. Whether the woman be a virgin, whether she be a non-virgin, whether she was married previously, whether she's unmarried, irrelevant. The wali is a requirement when it comes to the matter of marriage. And then subhanAllah, you find many a times tears being shed in that home. Why? Because she wants to get married. And the father says no. And let's say he has some valid grounds with regards to this matter. He says, my daughter, you have chosen who you want to get married to. You never step foot into this house of mine again. Many times at the nikah, there's fighting, there's issues, there's problems. The problems begin even the marriage. We are talking about the fitnas. And this is from amongst one of them. You have an example of a brother and this girl, they get married without the permission, without the involvement of the wali. La nikah illa bi wali. 5-7 months later, they're having problems. She wants out from the marriage. She cannot take it at all. And so she asks him for a khula'. I want a fasq. I want out from this marriage. He says, over my dead body, I will never let you go. And so then, subhanAllah, she attended a fiqh class here and a fiqh class there. And so then she says, well, you know what? In reality, we got married without my father's involvement. It was a nikah without a wali. And right now, you don't want me to go. So in reality, we have no nikah from the beginning, in the first place. And so she left. Allah musta'an. You ran away from the rain, and you stood under the drain, as the Arabs state, farra min al-matar wa qama tahta al-mizab. You ran away from one problem, and you made another problem. Brothers and sisters, this is the matter of the wali, a requirement with regards to any marriage. Yes, there might be certain circumstances where one has to bypass the matter of the wali. Maybe you have a revert sister, she has no wali, or her wali might not be a Muslim. Those are the exceptions to the rule, but we do not make them the rule, rather they are the exceptions. Another loophole with regards to marriage is, for example, Suleiman comes to South Africa, mashallah, and he meets up with Sumayya, and he requires a paper. What's it called? Temporary residency. And so he says, Sumayya, you know what, this, that, whatever. We'll get married on paper, and I will give you 300 rands, 400 rands every single month. Rental, mashallah. Excellent. And so that's the transaction between them. Where's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That there are three matters which, if you are joking, it's serious. And if you're serious, it's also serious. The matter of nikah, the matter of talaq, and the matter of setting free a slave. Where does this fall in here, subhanAllah? We don't joke around. We don't mess around with regards to the matter of nikah. And how many an individual, when they checked up with home affairs, she's married to 4 husbands, 5 husbands. MashaAllah, rental from here and rental from there, and getting all of this money every month. But in reality, even if it just be just for paper, but when it comes to the matter of marriage, you don't joke around. Similarly, with regards to the matter of divorce. The third loophole with regards to the matter of marriage is the matter of mut'ah. What is mut'ah? Subhanallah. Yesterday in Cape Town, one of the mashayikh mentioned, like, you know what, just recently I had a case that two of them at university, and Sunnis, both of them Sunnis, but because of maybe some influence, this book, that book, some Shia at university, whatever it might be, and so both of them temptation, if we're going to do it, but let's find a mut'ah type of marriage. What does mut'ah mean? It means enjoyment. It's a temporary marriage of convenience. 5 days marriage, we get married for 5 days. If, for example, 5 days pass, automatically they separate. There's no need for any talaq or anything of the sort. If, for example, during the 5 days, she passes away, he will not inherit like a normal marriage. He will not inherit. If she passes away, he will not inherit, and the same the other way. She can't say to him after 2 days, you know what, I need to go to the doctor and you need to pay. I need some clothing, you need to pay. No nafaqah. It's only for mere enjoyment. The normal fruits of any normal marriage do not apply in a mut'ah type of marriage. And this is completely haram. Yes, we know. In the early days of Islam, it was permissible. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Mecca, and Sahaba used to practice. They went to Medina until the conquest of Mecca, the year 8 AH. That's when it was made completely haram. Just like how alcohol and any other matter, they were also permissible in the early days. We learnt that Zainab was married to As ibn al-Rabi'. He was not a Muslim. She was a Muslim. It was allowed in the early days. Until eventually, all of this was prohibited. And so, the matter of mut'ah, another type of loophole, completely haram. The fourth one, and that is, for example, something that maybe some know about, something which is called halala, which in reality should be called harama. So we find Brother Suleiman in a fit of anger, he says to his wife that you are divorced 3 times, which is 3 times of haram. He should not have said that. Nonetheless, he did the mistake. And then he goes to a certain scholar, certain sheikh, maulana, whoever it might be. He says, yes, I have a dirty fatwa book here. And looks up there and he says, no problem. I know, how many kids do you have? 4 kids, subhanallah. What's your age, brother? 42. What's your wife's age? Etc, etc. No problem. I know how much you miss her. For the sake of Allah, fi sabilillah, I will marry her. I will consummate marriage. Then I will divorce her. And then you remarry her. Oh, we can do this? It's allowed? Yeah, no problem. I don't mention to everybody, but our maslak says it's fine, inshallah. Khair. Allahumma musta'an. Do you think that the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can acknowledge such a practice? As Ibn Taymiyyah said, that this practice, halala or harama, is even worse than mut'ah. Anyone? Why is it worse than mut'ah? Because at least mut'ah was allowed in our sharia in the early days. Whereas this halala harama business was never allowed in any sharia. Not with the Jews, not with the Christians, not with anyone, subhanallah. We find Abdullah ibn Umar, he said that this is not a nikah, this is sifah, this is zina. Umar said, if anyone's caught doing this, we will have them stoned to death. The normal penalty which applies upon the matter of zina, Allahumma musta'an. And as some said, rather, that husband and wife remain together in haram, but it would be one zina, as opposed to her going to someone else, which would be zina, and then coming back to original husband would be zina number 2. Allahumma musta'an. Brothers and sisters, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who asks for this to be done, and the one that it's done for, the one who's involved, all of them are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those, in summary, were the examples of loopholes when it comes to the matter of marriage. And people fall into this, why? Because we forget the verse of the noble Quran where Allah states, وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. And we have taken from the people this contract of marriage. It's not a light matter. It's not like buying a cell phone or buying a chair. مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. It's a heavy type of contract. It's not any simple type of contract. And so you have to live up to it. And if you have to break it, then you should only do so after you've reached the point of no return. After you've reached that point that we can absolutely not live together, then we move on to that matter. That was the matter of loopholes when it comes to the matter of nikah. We now move on, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, to the matter of maintenance, the matter of money. As a wise woman, she said that, in reality, money does not buy happiness, but the lack of it can bring upon a home unhappiness. Money might not buy us happiness, but the lack of it can bring into our home a lot of unhappiness. We find Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an in the early days, this woman by the name of Fatima, she says, Ya Rasulullah, I received this proposal from Abu Jaham and a proposal from Muawiyah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Muawiyah, he is su'luk, la mala lahu, he does not have any money. So, you know, don't get married to him. We find the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, oh, the youth, those of you who can afford to get married, man kana minkumul ba'ata falyatazawwaj, you have the financial ability, then get married. Two times he mentions the matter of finances, because it does have a play in any marriage. They could love one another, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. But if every day she needs to ask him for a little bit of money, for this or for that or for that, then every time there's room for great tension. She says to her mother, I don't know what to do. When should I ask him for the money? When he comes from home, his mood is like this, like that. In the morning before he went to work, I mentioned. And then the whole day, he was sour. Allah musta'an. Why do we even ask for all of these problems? Husband and wife, between both of them, agree upon a certain amount, which is bil ma'roof, according to the norms of society, according to what he can afford and what they agree upon at the beginning of the month. So he gives that to her. Walhamdulillah, sorted out. Yes, if this woman might have been a princess, she might have been the king's daughter, does she have to spend on him? She does not have to spend a dime on the husband. Rather, it's completely the duty, responsibility upon the husband to make sure that everything in the house, etc., is paid for. If she does pay and she does contribute, alhamdulillah, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. We find the wife of Abu Sufyan. She was, what was her name? Hind, the one who desecrated the body of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. After she embraced Islam, she says, Ya Rasulullah, sisters, don't listen. She says, Ya Rasulullah, my husband Abu Sufyan, he does not really spend on us. Myself and the kid does not really spend. Can I take from his money, his wealth, without his knowledge? Is it permissible to take with him not knowing? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, take from his wealth for your needs, bil ma'roof, according to the norms, according to what you and your kid requires. Why? Because it was his duty, it was wajib, and so he had to provide for that matter. As someone said, that in reality, mashaAllah, my husband has a lot of wealth, he has more than enough, but the problem is, his hands are very short, Allah musta'an. Pockets are full, but the hands are short, Allah musta'an. So, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, there was the matter of nafaqa, the matter of maintenance, be it medical, be it with regards to sanitary matters, be it with regards to clothing, food, whatever, all of this here, the sole responsibility of the husband, if she contributes, walhamdulillah. What happens is, we don't have a proper system for working this out. So every day she asks him. Every day he finds it difficult. Need money for milk. Where's yesterday's milk? Well, you drank it. Mushkila. Now, every day you have issues and problems. Rather, they work out a solution which works best for them. Walhamdulillah. We move on to number three, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Divorce disasters. Did the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam divorce any of his wives? Did he divorce any of his wives? How many times did he get married? Someone? 11? No. Dr. Muhammad? Farooq? 9 times. No, not 9. He passed away leaving behind 9 wives. Someone said 11? No, not 11. He consummated marriage with 11 wives. Any other numbers? 10? No, not 10. Anyone else? Father, doctor? 13. Excellent, Dr. Ahmed Jadwit. 13. Excellent. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married 13 times. If we said he consummated marriage 11 times, that means two of them were divorced before consummation. Two of them, he entered upon one of the wives, and she says, A'udhu billahi mink. I seek Allah's protection from you. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I mean, if you sought Allah's protection from me, how can I be with you? And so he separated from her. Side story, that some narrations mention that it was the other wives who said to her, he likes when his wives say this, and so you should say this when he enters upon you. But don't worry about that. Jayid. And the other incident was, he entered upon one of the wives, and she had leprosy. And so her family deceived him. They did not inform him that she had this disease, she had leprosy, etc. And so the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, go back to your family, and he parted from her. So in summary, he married 13 times, consummated marriage with 11. When he passed away, he left behind 9 wives. That means 2 passed away during his lifetime. Who? Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and one of the 2 Zainabs, Zainab bint Khuzaima, she passed away in his lifetime. Point of all of this is what? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam divorced 2. He also divorced Hafsa, that was number 3. The daughter of Umar, he divorced her. But then subhanallah, Jibreel came down. Like Jibreel came down to give salams to Khadija, Jibreel came down and ordered the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah orders you to take back Hafsa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Why? Because she is sawama qawama. Because she's a woman who prays a lot and she fasts a lot during the day and prays at night. And so he took her back. Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, brothers and sisters, said that nobody divorces according to the sunnah except that they will not regret. What did Ali say? If you divorce according to the sunnah, you will not regret. What are you talking about, O Ali? What do you mean by this? Subhanallah. In many matters of our sharia, there's great wisdom. But not all of them are clear and apparent. When it comes to the rules of divorce, they are super apparent, walhamdulillah. Listen carefully, ya mashaykh. There are 2 types of bid'ah when it comes to the matter of divorce. Jayid. And this bid'ah, by the way, is agreed upon by the Hanafis, Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanafis, Wahhabis, Salafis, Barelvis, Tablighis, whoever else you want to add to the mix, they all agree on this bid'ah. It's one of those few bid'ahs that they all agree on, mashallah. What is it? They agree that you have 2 types of bid'ah when it comes to divorce. There's the bid'ah of time, and there's the bid'ah of number. The bid'ah of time, and the bid'ah of number. What is this bid'ah of time? Certain time you can't divorce your wife? Yes. When? During her menses. Haram, haram, and haram to divorce your wife when she's in her menses. Think about the wisdom. Her mindset may be a bit here and there. Hormonal imbalance here, there, whatever. Yourself, maybe you're not intimate with her now for about 5 days. You are agitated. You're 25 years old. You're agitated, etc. She might be agitated. She feels, I'm just waiting to have a ghusl. The room for issues and problems between husband and wife are high. Sharia says haram to divorce during this time. Abdullah ibn Umar did it. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got angry and says to the father, order your son to take back that wife. Not permissible during this time when she's in her menses. That's the first time when it's haram. So let's see. If in the first day of the menses they have an issue or problem, he has to wait another 5 days or 4 days or 6 days until he can divorce her. He would have thought about the matter. He would have deliberated. You wouldn't have 95% of the cases which begin with, Mawlana, you know what? I was very angry and in haste, I divorced my wife. You wouldn't have that at all. And that's like 95% of the scenarios. Haram during the menses. Number 2. Haram in a clean period that you were intimate with your wife. So she's either in her menses, if we're talking about most females. So she is either 5-6 days in her menses. Then the rest of the month is the clean time, the clean period, if we must call it that. Jayid, if the husband and wife were intimate during this time, let's say Sumayya and Suleiman, she took her ghusl, mashallah, perfume, dida, whatever, and then she comes out, nice meal, and then they go to sleep. Oh brother, khair ibadah, mashallah. There was full intimacy between husband and wife. The next day, there's an issue, there's a problem. Where's the milk money? I don't know, whatever. And next thing, it led to the matter of divorce. It's not permissible. It's haram, haram, and haram. Brother Suleiman needs to ponder and think, you know what? I'm not allowed to divorce right now. Why? Because it's the clean period that I was intimate with my wife. If he wants to divorce, what does he have to do? He has to wait for day number 7, day number 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. That 25 day period of clean must finish. Then she's going to be in her menses, yes or no? And not permissible during the menses. That's another 5-6 days. Come the new clean period. She takes a ghusl. And now if he wants to divorce her, he has to divorce her without being intimate with her. Brother Suleiman waited about 25 days. 25 days, subhanallah. He saw her with the kids. He was there. She made fantastic meals, etc. He saw her leg here and her hand there and all of this here. And after he pondered over this matter, 25 days, Then now he thought, you know what? No, the decision is to divorce her. He would not be in a state of regret. Further to that, comes another 3-month waiting period, which is the iddah waiting period. And he's still there together with her in the same bed, subhanAllah. And if after all of that, there was no spark at all between them, then maybe then it's better for them to part. But subhanAllah, that's the way according to the sunnah. As Ali said, what do you think? If somebody waited that period, would he really have regret? Not really, subhanAllah. It would not be a matter of haste. So haram in the menses, haram in a clean period that you had been intimate, full intimacy with the wife. That's the bid'ah of time. As for the bid'ah of number, this is haram. I divorce you 2 times. I divorce you 3 times. I give you talaq, 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 haram, haram, and haram. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when someone did this, he said, are you people playing with the book of Allah while I am amongst you? Think over this, brothers and sisters. The example of the one who gave 3 divorces in one go or 2 divorces in one go, this is what he's done. He's taken the checks and the balances of the Sharia, the room for reconciliation, and thrown it out of the window. This is what he's done. For every divorce comes 3 months room for reconciliation. By him giving 3 divorces in one go, he's thrown away 9 months of room for reconciliation out of the window. I don't care. I don't care what Allah wants and the Sharia wants and all of this. Out the window, we part right now today. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Subhanallah. Prophet ﷺ said, are you playing with the book of Allah while I'm amongst you? All these 3 scenarios, bid'ah of time, 2 examples, bid'ah of number, 1 example, all of them are haram, haram, and haram. But if somebody fell into it due to their ignorance or whatever, majority of the ulama count it as being valid. It's a divorce, you don't play around with it. You shot, you pull the trigger and the bullet's gone. It was haram for you to do, but majority of the ulama, Hanafi, Shafi'is, Malikis, and Hanbalis, all counted and they counted as valid, although it was haram. Hayyakumullah. One last matter with regards to divorce disasters. You know a million examples where, for example, they have issues and problems. She's already left and she's gone to her parents' house. Few weeks later, few months later, send the divorce. And then he phones or whatever, divorce done, and she's there. Contrast that to what Allah said in the Quran. Listen carefully, subhanAllah. Allah states, لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِن بُيُوتِهِنَّ وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَ إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ. If you divorced your wife, you are not allowed to send her out of the house. You're not allowed to tell her, please go to your parents' house. Go and sit there for the iddah. I've given you 1 divorce. Leave the house. You, Allah addressing the husband, you're not allowed to send her out. The only reason you could send her out is if she fell in zina. If she committed zina. So go back in history. Time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If there's any daughter, any female, she's come back to her father's house in society, she's come back home. It's most likely that she fell into zina. That's why the husband sent her home. Are you with us? Are you with us, Mashaykh? Whereas today, that's the norm. Even before the divorce comes, you know, she's already gone there. Allahu musta'an. And then how many examples? 2 months later, 5 years later, we have regret. Think over the wisdom of the Sharia. He gives her 1 divorce in a clean period that he was not intimate with her. He did it according to the sunnah. Clean period, he was not intimate with her. And then waited 3 months of the iddah, both of them sleeping in the same bed. She's preparing the meals. Subhanallah, the Sharia wants for some spark to happen. Wants for some khair to occur between both of them. By mistake, his hand goes here or whatever, and mashallah, they're back together. That's what the Sharia wants. By us leaving, we close the door to any of that. Sharia wants that he looks at her with the kid. He looks at her when she's preparing the meal. She wears fantastic. Oh, subhanallah. How many examples? You have the sister, she says, you know what, my husband gave me a divorce. I mean, iddah. What clothes am I supposed to wear? She confuses the iddah of the widow with the iddah of the divorcee. The iddah of the divorcee, you wear whatever it takes. You wear the best. You wear whatever you wore on your wedding night. The one who her husband has passed away, you are in mourning. And so you're the one, you know, dresses with certain clothing, not fashionable, etc., etc. I mean, subhanAllah, if there's a husband and wife and now suddenly after he gave one divorce, she only wears black as if there's a funeral in the house. Would there be any room? Would there be temptation? I mean, all he sees is like Malak al-Maut. Jayid? Mushkila. Jayid? Allah musta'an. The Sharia wants for this room, for this opportunity. Listen. After 3 months of them sleeping together in the same bed, his leg touched her leg and still nothing happened. She cooked that meal and she was playing with the kids and all of this. And there was still no softness, no tenderness between both their hearts. There was still no spark. If after that period of 3 months, then there was nothing, then maybe it is for the best that they part. Because there's nothing there, subhanAllah. Then they can say that we really tried our level best. We gave it our all. وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِّن سَعَتِهِ. And if they part, Allah says, we will enrichen them from our bounties. Summary, when it comes to the matter of divorce, the bid'ah of time, 2 examples, and the bid'ah of number, 1 example. We move on to custody control. How many examples, subhanAllah, of husbands and wives, or former husbands and wives, the father and the mother using the kids as pawns, each one fighting over the kid. Not so much with regards to the kid, but rather with regards to spiting the other. Spiting the other. Allahu musta'an. And we obviously know that Western law sides with the mother. In fact, subhanAllah, if it's an infant, Islamic law sides with the mother. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the mother has more right over the infant for as long as she does not remarry. Up to the age of 7, the infant up to 7, she's got more right with regards to the custody. Question, as for maintenance, as for the fees for the kid, as for any type of expense related to the kid, who's responsible? The father. The father's responsible. But here we're talking about the custody. Custody is one matter, maintenance the other. Maintenance the duty of the father, and custody, the fuqaha have deferred. After 7, some said the kid chooses. Obviously, the kid might choose the one who gives more toys. Jayid. Some of them said the kid should choose. Others said, at the end of the day, we look at what is in the best interests of the kids. And if the father and the mother can come together and amicably resolve and come up with a parenting plan, that's the best option. Walhamdulillah. As opposed to, you know, what did your mother say? Why are you wearing this clothes here? What clothes is this here? Your mother couldn't buy anything better than this. I gave so much of money and this and that. Or, mashallah, she used to live in Durban. Now suddenly, 3 kids. So she says, we're moving to Sandton. And your father has to pay the rent for all of this here. Bil ma'roof, according to the norms and the customs. And not beyond that. Our last matter, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, inheritance terrorism. How many families have split up? How many cases in the city of Durban at the High Court, brothers and sisters for years at the necks of one another because of the matter of the father who passed away 10 years ago and the inheritance estate is not yet sorted out. When someone passes away, the first thing we do is work out their funeral expenses, their kafan, etc. We pay that from their own money. If somebody wants to pay from their side, no problem. But otherwise, we use their own money. Number 2, we wipe out their debts. The debts they owe to Allah and the debts they owe to mankind. Sort all of that out. Then, if they had a wasiyah, a bequest to an outsider, to maybe Al-Kawthar Institute, or maybe Imam Development Project, or to the dog, the cat, the neighbor, whoever it might be, no problem at all. Only up to 1/3 of the estate. Not more than 1/3. The rule is, you cannot make a wasiyah, you cannot make a bequest to any heir. Heir, who's an heir? The ones who will inherit from you automatically. You cannot say, when I pass away, my son, you will get this. When I pass away, my daughter, you will get this. You can say, when I pass away, my neighbor will get this. No problem with that. When I pass away, my friend will get this. No problem at all. Up to 1/3 of your estate. But when I pass away, my son will get this? No. When I pass away, my daughter will get this? Absolutely not. When I pass away, my wife will get this? Absolutely not. They will get, as per surah, Suratul Nisa, as per Suratul Nisa, the division laid down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to do something, sort it out in your lifetime. My son, this bottle of water, this is yours. Jazakallah khair, take it. You are the owner of it from today. Not, you are the owner of it when I pass away. No, you take it now and you are the owner. Walhamdulillah. My car, my son, this is your car now. Take it. Here's the keys. It's your car. Not when I pass away. Why? Because if you've not transferred ownership and then you pass away, automatically it forms part of your estate and it goes to the heirs as per the distribution mentioned in the Noble Quran. So the golden rule there is, you can only make a wasiyah to an outsider for up to one third. You cannot make a wasiyah to any of your heirs. And subhanallah, how many examples up till today, especially in the East, especially in India, Pakistan. You have the brothers, when the father passed away, they deny their sisters. No, they don't get anything. Many of those sisters feel we shouldn't even ask. That's when culture is overriding the deen, subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the first science to be taken away would be the knowledge of inheritance. Although the hadith has weakness in it, but the meaning is correct. Very few people know about the intricacies of inheritance, but nobody wants to be done down in that matter. As has been said, where there's a will, I want to be in it. Hayyakumullah ya mashayikh. That is the five family fitnas. The first matter was related to nikah loopholes. We said it's a heavy contract, not a light matter. The second matter was the matter of maintenance. Agree between husband and wife an amount which is amicable, which is suitable for both parties. Number three, divorce disasters. And we spoke about the two bid'ahs. The sunnah type of divorce would be to divorce her one time in a clean period that you did not sleep with her, as per the words of Ali radiallahu an. We discussed custody control, and lastly, inheritance terrorism. Hayyakumullah, jazakumullah khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us away from these types of fitness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah bond between husband and wife. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our homes, homes of mercy, khair and rahmah. With that mawadda and that rahmah. Hayyakumullah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.